Ashley, and this is
Jackie. Hi.
And welcome back to the Amateur Artsy Podcast.
What was that, Ashley? Did you say that we have a name now?
Yes, we have finally decided on our name, and we have just realized that this is the first episode that says the name in it.
Yep, it's finally official. We are the Amateur Artsy Podcast.
Yeah.
And this week, what are we talking about, Ashley?
We'll be talking about the 2014 film, What We Do in the Shadows. So that's a comedy, horror, mockumentary.
And there will be spoilers, so watch out.
Yeah, for sure. So the average rating on IMDb is 8.4 out of 10. That's pretty high, but I think it's about a 9.8 out of 10.
Ooh, missing a little 0.2% there.
Well, there could be improvements, but then again, I think it's perfect the way it is. I don't really think that changing it would really help it. Fair enough. The Rotten Tomatoes is higher though at a 96%.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those people are normally very picky.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
So, the film was directed by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi, our boy.
Oh my god, yes.
Who also wrote and star in the film. Taika plays Viago, and Jermaine plays Vladislav. And the rest of the cast includes Jonathan Bruh as Deacon, Ben Franchem as Peter, Corey Gonzalez as So there's other people in the cast too. And yeah.
So would you like to hit us up with a summary?
Sure. So the film budget is $1.6 million, which is, like, in the scale of things, like, it's pretty low, but at the same time, considering it's, like, a very low-budget film, like, it's quite a lot.
I think that it's best that it's a low-budget film, because especially when you watch it, I feel like the added cameras or special effects would ruin the realness of it.
Yeah, I agree with that, because it's more about, like, what they actually do with, like, the way that people talk, and like it's about
I think a good comparison would be the Blair Witch Project.
I haven't actually seen that, but I've heard
heard
about it.
I know a lot of people agree with me on this, but with the original one, it was a similar style kind of thing, but they did it looked so real to the point where everyone thought like it was actually happening and stuff, because it's the way it's set out. But then they did it, and they added more special effects and made it
more
scary and stuff, and I feel like that ruined it.
So that was, it was better how it was before. Yeah,
I feel like same with this, like if they, someone decided to redo it with like special effects and like an overly big budget, it wouldn't be the same.
So yeah, it's a mockumentary style. It's set in the suburbs of Wellington, New Zealand, and the camera crew are given protection from the vampires, who are four guys living in a shared house.
Yep.
And basically the whole film is sort of seeing what their daily lives are like in the lead up to the annual Undead Masquerade. And we begin with Viago, who is the leader.
And he's sort of like the mum of the group, would you say?
We'll go back into that because in an interview, they kind of described each main character's roles.
So we've also got Deacon, who is the sort of young rebel of the group. He's another one of the vampires. And they also live with Peter.
Oh, yes.
Who is the very, very creepy, very old vampire who's the original one who bit them all.
Yeah.
And another character who I've forgotten to mention is Vladislav.
Oh, I love Vlad.
Who's a very sort of romancy kind of a guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's sort of the basic sort of thing of the film is like we're watching from the camera crew's perspective, sort of seeing how they go about their lives.
Yeah, the whole thing is a documentary per se. About the life of a vampire.
Yeah, looking at the culture of the Wellington vampires.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so We've also watched a couple of interviews between Taika and Jermaine that mm-hmm. where they discuss the film and kind of how they came about to making the film and a bit of background stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. Are the writers and directors of the film. So it's set in a modern day New Zealand, and Taika and Jermaine said that they decided to choose New Zealand for the place that the vampires visit because back in the 1800s, New Zealand was thought of and advertised with such hype. But as you see through the progression of the film, mm-hmm. it's very different to how it actually is.
What yes. they thought. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, Viago was traveling to New Zealand. Like, he got there in the 1800s, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But it was a long trip for him. If you
yes, remember, yeah. very long trip.
So, yeah, the movie they discuss is a bit of an immigrant story of how the vampires are trying to migrate into a world of humans and try and fit in and,
mm-hmm.
you know, not be judged and stuff, as you see through the film.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much about sort of their kind of story with that.
Yeah. And they also focus on internal dynamics of the vampires. So mm-hmm. they said that Viago is a bit like the mum of the family. Vlad is a little bit like the dad. And Deacon...
Ooh, actually, on Viago, I think Taika said that he based that character on his own mother.
Oh my god.
Which is just the sweetest thing ever.
Oh, that's so cute. But Viago is so adorable, though, his character. You see, like, he wakes up everyone and, like, he sets, like, house meetings and he's so sweet and just mm-hmm. amazing.
And he's sort of the one who, like, looks after people. Like, if he notices that they're somewhere they shouldn't be when yeah. the sun's going to come up and destroy them,
yeah,
he looks after them.
Yeah. And, Deacon, yeah, he's a bit of the rebellious kid.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he's very disruptive and he has his own, like, thing and he gets really pissed off. And, like, we saw earlier on in the film, he doesn't do the dishes and he gets really pissed off and has an argument with everyone.
Yeah, he's very much the, he's a bit of a man-child, to be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah, so cute.
yeah.
But then you also see a new character, Nick, who gets turned and mm-hmm. he kind of disrupts the dynamic that happens.
Yeah, yeah, he does, particularly because he has a human friend.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, God, really, because yeah. Stu, his friend, initially all the other vampires are a bit like, why are you bringing a human here? But they turn out to like him a lot more than they like Nick.
Yeah, they kind of protect Stu as if he was like their pet or like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so cute. They love him so much and it's just everything.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. He's the human pet.
Mm-hmm. So now we'll talk about the actual film.
Mm-hmm.
So the film has a lot of subplots, such as romances, as you see between Viago and... I don't remember her name.
I'll just double check that yeah. for you.
Well, he moved...
Catherine Heimberg.
Catherine, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he moved to New Zealand in the first place to be with Catherine, but because his familia put the wrong, what's it, the stamp?
I think it was supposed to be express shipping, but yes. there was an error there.
Yeah, there was, yeah. So he ended up going all over the place and then he came back. And then when he finally arrived in New Zealand, he realized that she had fallen in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't yeah. kill the person, even though he wanted to. Instead, he let them be together, and it's very cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully for him, she was still there, and yeah. he decided that he would go visit her, and they decided to live the rest of their lives together eventually.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made her a vampire as well. Yeah. So it was a very sweet ending for them.
Yeah. Another romance is between Vladislav and the Beast. It's a very disruptive relationship, as you see.
Yes. There's a lot of tension there.
Yeah. I feel so bad for him, but it's so funny.
Yeah. He even had some very extreme powers in the past. But because of what happened between him and her, basically he sort of lost his powers.
Yeah. So another subplot would be the relationship with the werewolves.
I love it.
That's
quite
an
interesting one.
You kind of see throughout the film that the werewolves are kind of minding their own business, but the vampires always just come in just to piss them off.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, because they're sort of like two of the sort of supernatural groups that are living around the Wellington area.
Yeah, they mainly speak about them. There's like other stuff like zombies and witches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so another thing with that, like the witches, how do you know if a person was a witch or like a warlock? Like they didn't really specify. Do they have a specific look to them? Like how would you know?
Yeah, because when they actually go to the ball, like at the end, Stu is like the only human there and like everyone's very suspicious of him.
Yeah.
Like when they start to think maybe he's not one of us.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do we know, like, how do you identify whether or not he is actually human versus like a lot of the other
types of beings? Yeah, the beast was there and she actually asked them if Stu was like a witch or like a warlock. And like, couldn't they just say yes? Like, how would you know if they were wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it doesn't make sense in that kind of regard. That's sort of a question we have about this.
Mm-hmm. They also bring up familiars.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting one because you've already mentioned the Taika, what's his character's name?
Viago.
Yeah. Viago's familiar, who was the one who was supposed to ship him around the world. How would you describe the relationship that a familiar has to a vampire?
I guess they worship them. You can kind of see the way they do. Because Deacon is also shown to have a familiar. I don't remember her name.
Her name's Jackie.
Jackie.
I wonder how I remembered that.
Yeah, and you can see she does everything from, like, cleaning up the dead bodies and, like, they showed one scene where they're in the bathroom and there's, like, blood everywhere and she had, like, a toothbrush or something.
Yeah.
And she was cleaning it and I'm like, wouldn't she have a job? Doesn't she? Like, she had kids as well. I was like, wow, that's dedication. But in the end of the day, that's what, they just want to be a vampire.
Yeah. So, like, sort of they do everything. I think they have a moment where they interview Jackie and they ask her, like, what do you do? And she said, like, as a familiar, she basically, she does a lot of chores for Deacon, and one of those particularly is getting victims for them so that they can continue to survive.
Yeah.
And, basically she's working for eternal life. Mm-hmm. And how many familiars do you think actually end up achieving getting eternal life?
By the looks of things, I don't think many. I think they just kind of drag them along because you see, at the start when they go off to the club, Jackie's there and she keeps trying to bring up to Deacon, when are you going to turn me? Like, it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, she's concerned that she's getting old. She's like, I want to sort of be the best version of me that I can be, you know?
Yeah. So, and they just kind of brush it off and they're just like, and then they just keep going.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of use them as like slaves, I guess you could put it.
I would say that's pretty much how it goes. Like, from what I've seen from both her and also
Viago's
one, who actually ended up Skyping him later on.
Yeah.
And was like, so when are you going to turn me, master? I'm so old. Or
yeah,
whatever.
He's so old.
And it's like, well, dude, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think this has worked out how you were hoping it would, to be honest.
Yeah, because he asked him and Viago just shut down the laptop screen. And then I was like, what the shit?
Yeah.
Oh, that was sad.
Yeah. Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah. But I think one of the biggest subplots would be the introduction of Stu, as we mentioned before, and his kind of character. Like, his influence he has on the vampires.
Yeah, because when Nick gets turned and they all sort of go out clubbing, I think that's when we first meet Stu.
Yeah.
When they just, the four of them go out to a club to go find some victims, and just Stu's there, and, like, they get introduced And so he's sort of there to join them.
Yeah.
Because he's such good friends with Nick. Yeah,
and he's so chill as well. Like, he doesn't question anything. Because you can see, like, sometimes, like, you see them walking past other vampires who are, like, feasting on humans. And he just doesn't say anything. He just kind of goes along with it. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, he just, like, he's very chill. Mm. And he's a software developer. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's quite an interesting dynamic.
Bringing that up, there's a scene in when they go to the ball, uh-huh. and they ask, because the beast is like, he's a virgin, like, I smell virgin blood.
Yeah.
And then they ask him, what does he do as a job? And he tries to explain it, and then she's like, he's a virgin. I was like, oh my god.
Such an attack.
That. I know, right? Of course, too. But yeah, as you see through the progression as well, like, they have that little attack with the werewolves as well.
Mm, yeah.
And then he gets turned into a werewolf. Mm. And that's kind of what brings together the werewolves and vampires.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing, because at first they struggle to sort of accept him, but now that they've decided that they like him and accept him, and he's been turned into a werewolf, that sort of makes them question themselves and wonder, should we really have this divide between the werewolves and the vampires?
Yeah. I think in the film in particular, it's more like they don't really hate each other. It's more like just petty kind of
It's like
fights.
One of those, it's the sort of the Capulets and Montagues sort of argument that's been going on for like however long their species have existed.
Yeah. They don't really go off and fight each other. That's the thing. They just kind of just shot by little arguments here and there, and then they just kind of leave it at that.
Yeah, pretty much. And I have a couple of questions about the, about living in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
First question, who do you think books the local community hall for the undead masquerade every year?
Oh my god. It would have to be someone. Maybe it's the witches.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it's the witches.
Because it's got to be someone who can actually handle, like, dealing with humans without accidentally eating them or, like, doing something.
Yeah, I'd imagine, like, they show the zombies and stuff. Like, they're...
Somehow that event has to happen. Do you think they need security? Like, how do they keep the people away for that event?
Maybe they don't. Maybe they eat the people that come there. That's their food.
Oh my god. That's a point. Like, because what are they going to serve?
Yeah. They had that guy on auction. Do you remember? They had some guy in some, like, cage, and they were auctioning him off.
I don't remember this scene.
Oh, it was so funny. There's, like, this guy, and he was like an older guy with, like, glasses, and he looked really confused. Maybe he just wandered in, and they just caged him.
You know,
you're probably right.
That's probably, like, how they catered the event, because... Mm. Did they actually have food on the tables?
I can't quite remember. They had punch, but I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be blood, because it was, like, red, like a deep red.
That would make sense.
Yeah, because I think Stu or something went to get the punch, and then Nick kind of brushed it off. He's like, don't drink that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure it was blood.
Yeah, probably.
Oh my gosh.
So, what do you think you would make of becoming a vampire if Peter accidentally got you?
Oh man, I wouldn't handle it, because when Nick, because he was actually one of the people that Jackie brought in for them to feast on, but he managed to, well, escape for a bit, and then Peter got to him, and then the other vampires,
oh no, poor guy, Peter got him.
Because he turns them, and then you see his progression, like, he's, like, cold and, like, hot, it's kind of like a flu, like a really, really bad flu that just doesn't end.
Mm-hmm.
And then his eyes start bleeding. It's so weird. And he just keeps, like, wiping it off. He's like, oh, yeah, they haven't stopped bleeding. And I'm just like, oh, my God, what the hell?
Yeah. He just, like, bloodshot eyes with literal blood just, like, running down his face.
Yeah, he's casually just wiping it off. It's like, oh, my God. And it looked like a bit of, like, The Exorcist as well when he was in bed and his body was all, like, contorted and stuff. But it looks very painful. But I think the worst thing out of everything would be how they can't eat food anymore.
I know. Nick said his favorite food was chips. And, like, they all go out to a restaurant after going clubbing, and Stu orders chips.
It's so funny, because he's the only one eating there.
Yeah, and then I think, does Nick go to, like, eat a chip? He eats a chip.
They warn him, though. They're like, oh, I don't think you should do that. And he's like, why not?
And then he eats a chip, and then later, he's sick outside. And they're like, well, there you go. Shouldn't have eaten the chip.
It's like, blood is just, like, spurting out of his mouth, but like it's such a powerful force.
Mm.
It looks horrifying.
Because at first he's really excited to become a vampire, because like he's just flying everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas the others are just so over it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think that'd probably be the only cool thing, being able to fly.
Everything else, like, I don't like the sun anyway, but like they have to sleep.
Yeah.
And like they can't do anything. Like another thing we brought up as well was like how are they paying for it and stuff?
Yeah, like, that's a fair point. Who pays the rent? How does the rent get paid?
Because they don't have jobs, like, do they?
No, I don't think they do. I think they just get Jackie to do everything for them.
Yeah. Oh my god, poor Jackie.
Yeah. And oh, what was the other thing? I think they maybe Vlad might do something to the mind of the landlord, because you know how was it him who's really good at
he struggles, remember, after the incident with the beast?
Yeah, that's right, with the beast.
Maybe it could be Viago or Deacon.
Yeah, maybe it's Viago or Deacon
that do something.
Maybe they're getting Jackie to pay the rent for them.
Yeah, but oh, they've hypnotized. Oh no, that's so sad. Poor Jackie.
I mean, she has to do everything for them anyway. Mm,
but like, just yeah. If you see the house as well, like, it's a pretty big house. It's very old school Victorian style house.
What else do you think you'd think about becoming a vampire? Personally, I wouldn't like the thought of being immortal and just watching everyone die.
Yeah, they bring that up as well with when they thought with the incident with the werewolves where Stu gets ripped apart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Nick gets really sad, and so do the other vampires.
They all think that he's dead.
Yeah. So Deacon has a little one-on-one with Nick, which is kind of...
It's sort of like his character arc, because at first he's very adverse to Nick. Yeah. Deacon's very... He thought he was the new sort of cool young guy.
Yeah, the rebellious one, but then Nick came along and kind of stole his thunder.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of has a talk to him, and he's kind of like, you gotta get used to this, being a vampire, because all your human friends will, like, die eventually.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, it's kind of sad, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's something I wouldn't like about becoming a vampire.
Yeah. But another weird one is with the vampires and werewolves, like, what would happen if they had a child? Or, like, what would happen if a vampire and a human, or like a werewolf and a human, have a child?
That's a good question.
Because we thought about that.
Yeah, it's hard to say what would happen. Like, we haven't got any concrete examples of that in this universe.
Yeah, because the kid can't go out into the sun if it's like a vampire. So, like, the mum could be like have it on like their stroller and be like taking it to the park. Would it just, like, evaporate or, like, you know, disintegrate?
Yeah, hypothetically, I have no idea how that would go down. Because I think there was a couple of kids who'd been turned.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, they certainly made use of that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, the pedophiles. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Basically, so the way they trap their victims is by trapping pedophiles. So
yeah.
That's one way of doing something.
Yeah, yeah. I guess they're doing some good, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, depends, like, what you think the penalty for certain crimes should be.
True.
Should it be death, maybe?
Oh, God.
There's quite a lot going on there.
Yeah. So, with the movie, there's actually a TV series as well that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And Jermaine, I'm pretty sure he directed it, and Taika, I think he's producing it or something like that, but it's got a really good cast, and we'll actually be talking about that in the next episode. But there's a lot of similarities between both, especially stuff like the separation and, like, between the werewolves and the vampires, as well as the whole introduction of, like, human friends and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't actually watched it yet, so no spoilers yet, actually.
No, I won't. Don't worry. There's just a lot of stuff we'll discuss in the next episode, but yeah.
Yeah. And the this film was actually based on a short film that Taika and Jermaine made in 2005 of the same name.
Yeah.
And it has quite a lot of similarities to this film. So what did you make of the differences and the similarities with that one, Ashley?
Well, for similarities, there's the same three main actors or characters. Mm-hmm. So Viago's still there.
Yeah.
Taika plays Viago. Jermaine, he plays a character called Vulvis, not Vlad. But mm-hmm. I can kind of see why they changed the name.
I think we can see why that happened, yeah.
And Deacon, I don't remember the actor who plays him,
mm-hmm.
but it's the same character as well. They do also bring up Nick as well, who's the same character, but they mm-hmm. just show him for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think something interesting I noticed from the interview we watched about that film was that back in 2005, when all of them were out on the streets wearing their very romantic sort of period vampire getup, people on the streets who saw them filming and didn't know what was happening or whatever, called them all sort of homophobic slurs, particularly like the F word and, you know, all that.
Yeah, yeah. Taika brings that up. He said there was a lot of that going on during the 2005 short film.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to create something similar to that in the 2014...
2000... Well, they filmed it in 2014.
2014, yeah. The 2014 film, but actually no one was throwing any slurs when they were recording. Yeah,
which is definitely a good sign of the times.
Yeah.
That things have improved and people aren't using homophobic slurs anymore just on the street as much.
Kind of, yeah. In New Zealand, but... Yeah, they had to get, like, an actor or something to, like, just in one scene where they just throw something out. Yeah. So, yeah, the film's also, you can see it's very low budget.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, there's low budget and then there's low budget.
Yeah, yeah. But I kind of like that because they recreate certain things. Well, obviously, they use this as inspiration because you can see a lot of the scenes are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the start of the film and stuff, they show... Viago waking up to an 8 p.m. alarm, and that's recreated as well.
Yeah.
In the...
They almost recreated that, like, shot for shot, and I really like you can see, the way they did that.
Yeah, the difference is obviously the house that it's in. It's not as, like, big and fancy
plus as the other film. The quality is a lot better. Mind you, we did watch it on YouTube, so I'm not sure, like, what the original quality of that was.
I reckon it would be similar. It's 2005.
Yeah.
The fashion style is very similar to the movie,
mm-hmm.
though they do change it up a bit, obviously because of the bigger budget, or slightly bigger budget.
They've got better quality teeth in the
in the film. The accents are, like, really weird, but it's very different, especially with Taika's Viago.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how different the character sounds. He has more of a... I don't know how you'd say it in the new movie. His voice is very kind of cute. And
sort,
like,
of effeminate, kind of?
Yeah, yeah. In the film. But you can see, even when they're talking in the 2005 short film, you can see how large the teeth are, the fake teeth. Mm,
yeah. I think that probably would have made it hard to talk as well.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Also, same thing as the original... Sorry, the same thing in the short film that's in the new one, newish one, is the interview setup as well.
Mm-hmm.
They had this same thing where they have... like a one-on-one interview with, like, the character to the camera and stuff. The character dynamics are similar to the mockumentary as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they copy the same scene of telling Deacon off for not doing his chores. And
I really like that.
That's funny. They use the same shopping mall for both movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
The same area to set in, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's literally filmed in the same street.
Yeah. They also show Stu as well, which is the same actor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool seeing how different they all look now, because they're so young. Yeah, because
it was filmed, like, basically 10 years apart, pretty much. Yeah.
They're so small, and it's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
They also did the same scene with the chips, as well, with Nick eating the chips, but except they didn't show him, like, with the blood throwing up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that we picked up was they also showed the scene where Deacon, he has, like, a bit of a fight with Nick and he flies off being a vampire. Mm-hmm. And they cut to him falling on a car from, like, going from bat form to vampire form. Mm-hmm. So they also recreated that scene, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah.
There's actually a bit more to the to this particular universe, because last year I watched the TV series Wellington Paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
And the characters Minogue and O'Leary, who are the ones who come and investigate the death of Peter. Well, actually, it's not. They're not there to investigate Peter's death, are they?
No, the Loudon. Okay, it's when they find out that Peter dies, they realize that it was Nick's fault, because the day before they went out partying and Nick was telling everyone that he was a vampire, and he accidentally told a vampire hunter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that was a mess. So he came in and he died, but also by doing that, he made a hole in the basement, and that's where sunlight came in and killed Peter. It was a very messy and very sad scene.
Poor Peter.
Yeah, I know. So, Nick and Deacon, they just kind of went off fighting and yelling and, like, flying up in the air. I thought that was a really cool scene. Mm-hmm. Where they were, like, on the ceiling and stuff, fighting and going kind of around. It's so cool.
And then just Minogue and O'Leary show up and they don't even see them, just, like, crouching above the doorway.
Yeah, because they walk in because of the noise, but then Viago, I'm pretty sure it's Viago that's a good hypnotist, because he hypnotizes them, so they don't see anything except for the fact that there's no, what was it? There's no, like, alarms and stuff. The
There's no smoke alarms.
Smoke alarms, yeah.
So the police officers, Minogue and O'Leary, they come in to investigate this disturbance, and
oh my god, it's so funny, because when they walk in and stuff, they see both, because you see Nick's kind of perched towards, like, the corner of the ceiling, and Nick's flying up to him, and I think it's Vlad that's trying to pull Nick down. I'm sorry, trying to pull Deacon down.
Yeah.
From fighting with them, and they're kind of frozen in that spot. They haven't even come down. They're still in the air.
Yeah. And just Minogue is just like, looks like you haven't got a smoke alarm in there.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous, you know.
Yeah, because they freak out because she's like, something's really weird. That's what did she say? She's like, something's not right in this room.
Yes.
And they're all looking at each other like, oh shit.
she's going to notice.
Yeah. And then they go down to the basement as well, but you see the dead body, and then they're just like, what happened to him? And that's the vampire hunter who's dead behind, like, this, what is it? The big stone.
Oh, yeah, the stone door that, like, protects Peter.
Yeah, it's, like, fallen on top of him, and his head's, like, backwards. So they quickly put his head back into place. And then he comes down, and they're like, what happened to your friend? And he's like, oh, he got drunk or something.
Yeah,
like
too much partying.
Yes, yeah.
And they're like, well, he's not having a good time, is he? Yeah. So you gotta look after him.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so good.
Yeah.
So I think they found, like, flammables down there as well. So they bring that up. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you shouldn't have flammables down there. You could cause a fire.
I think Taika and Jermaine saw a lot of potential in, like, having police officers involved with this.
Because you see them come back as well with Stu. Oh, that was so sad. When they wheel Stu away, they say it's a dog attack, and they find a little dog. Oh my god, such a cute little dog. And they're like, now this dog has to be put down. And I, like, died on the inside. Oh. I was like, oh no.
They really know how to tug at your heartstrings with that one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Another interesting thing about the Wellington Paranormal sort of spin-off TV series is that a couple of the episodes are directed by Jackie Van Beek, who is the one who plays the familiar.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sort of interesting how the sort of New Zealand film community is very connected that way.
Yeah.
Because these characters also appear in other Taika and Jermaine sort of productions. So they feature in The Breaker Operas, which came out last year. I don't know if you've seen that one. I haven't seen that,
no.
No. It's pretty good. It's a very short film, but you should watch it. And I think one of them may also appear in Hunt for the Wilder People, but I could be wrong there. I might be thinking of another actor who appears in a lot of Taika and Jermaine stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I know Taika's most famously known for Thor Ragnarok. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so proud of him for, like, getting into Hollywood and doing all that.
Yeah. Because,
like, he can bring his Taika comedy into everything.
I know Jermaine does a lot of acting. Like, I know he was in, like, Moana and stuff. Like,
I didn't realize he was in Moana.
Yeah,
who did he play in Moana?
Oh my god. Do you remember the scene with that?
I haven't actually seen Moana yet.
It looked like a crab or like a, I don't know if it was a lobster. Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Hold on.
He's, if you guys have seen Moana, there's this character, there's a scene where Moana and I forgot the guy, but the guy plays the Rock and stuff, the Rock's character. They're trying to find his sword or spear. I don't remember what it was. But then they go off to find this, I think it's a crab or like a lobster. I don't know what it is. But he collects shiny stuff. And then he does like a full on like sing. He sings and stuff. And it's such a cool scene. And then I found out that, because I was like, I recognize that voice. And I realized that was Jermaine. And I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. The two of them have made like a lot of things together. Jermaine's an actor, musician, comedian, screenwriter, and director.
Wow.
And Taika is also a filmmaker, actor, and comedian.
Wow.
So they do a lot. They've been working together for over 20 years. And they actually met in drama school, I think.
I don't know.
Back in the day.
Wow.
When they were at university. So that's how they met. And since then, they've made a lot of films, including Eagle vs. Shark. I don't know if... Have you seen that one?
I don't think so.
It's 2007.
So.
It's quite good. It's a rom-com.
Oh.
But it's about some really weird people. Jermaine's even in it. And also Boy, which was in 2010. Oh, just remembered. The guy who plays Nick in What We Do in the Shadows is also in Eagle vs. Shark.
Oh, okay.
Hunt for the Wilder People, obviously, we've already talked about Thor Ragnarok and the Breaker Operas. And also, what was that film that Taika was making soon? There was going to be another one. Oh!
Are you talking about the Jojo?
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit.
Oh my god, yes. It's a satire film. It's, I don't really know what it's fully about, but it's like a kid or something whose imaginary friend is Hitler, and like Taika plays Hitler, and I was like, this is amazing, because he's Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Jewish and Polynesian.
Yeah, yeah.
Neither of those things probably Hitler was a fan of.
Yeah.
And Jermaine's also doing lots of big things.
Mm-hmm.
In the new Avatar movie, he's going to be a marine biologist.
Wow.
Which is amazing. But at the same time, why are they making more Avatar movies?
There's only been one, right?
I know, right?
When was that? It was so long ago.
I know.
I don't even remember. Well,
but
oh my god.
Now's probably not the time to pick apart why Avatar 2 is not necessary.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, what was your favourite scene in the film?
Okay, well, I have two. So my favorite, oh my god, scene of all time is Deacon. This is just when Nick gets turned into a vampire. You see, they play like this really old school kind of erotic music, and you see Deacon doing kind of an erotic dancing scene, and you see the other two guys just sitting there and like chilling, and it's just like the best thing when they're watching him dance, and it's so good, man. It's so funny. Oh my god. There's also another scene where where they meet you see the werewolves for the first time. And I think it's Deacon that pisses them off. And then they're like getting angry and fired up. And there's one in particular, you can see his like eyes changing color. And then the leader of the pack's trying to calm him down. And then he's swearing. And then he's like, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. I love that
scene. That's possibly one of my favorite lines from the entire
so
film.
So funny. And he says it again because when the next time you see them, they're like tying themselves up to trees because the full moon.
Yeah, they're just gonna.
And he's, oh my god, it's so funny because in that scene, some of them are wearing jeans and he's like, are you guys stupid? Like, the jeans are gonna rip off and you're gonna be naked. I told you guys to wear track pants.
Yeah, he's just like, he's the alpha of the group. So, like, he tells people what to do.
Yeah, he's also a pretty big actor as well. I don't remember his name, but he's been in quite a lot of films as well. Do you have
it? Rhys Darby.
Rhys. Anton?
Anton, yeah. Anton. I don't remember the films he's in, but I've seen him in a lot of stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's a reasonably big actor. But yeah, he's so funny. Because again, he brings it up. Like, the vampires come and piss him off and wasting their time. And he's like, calm down. We're werewolves. We're not swearwolves. And I just love that so much. It's so funny.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think possibly my favorite scene is just the opening scene of just seeing Taika just waking up from his coffin and just turning the alarm off. Just that just sets the whole vibe of the film.
Oh my god, yes.
And I just love the daily activities just as a vampire. It's just such an awesome thing about the film.
It's so funny.
Because the whole mockumentary style, it's been done, like, a lot, but they just do such a good job of it. I love it.
Mm. He's been... Yeah, sorry, I've just got a couple of films up here. But he's been in the...
So this was...
This is Anton?
Anton, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So he was in... He's in the Jumanji movies, the newer ones.
I haven't actually seen that yet.
Really? Oh my god.
I'm a bit behind at the moment.
He's in a couple of animated stuff like Star vs. Forces of Evil. I know some people watch that. He's also in Bob's Burgers. I watched that.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh my god. He's been in like The Simpsons, a couple of other animated shows. He's also been in shows like Fresh Off the Boat and Dr. Ken. Have you seen those type of shows?
I don't think so.
Okay. A Series of Unfortunate Events he's also been in. Yeah, stuff like Trolls, X-Files, Hunt for the Wilder People as well.
Wait, he was in Hunt for the Wilder People? I'd probably know him then.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of like the Taika universe. Like I've seen a number of their films.
He's been in quite a bit of theirs. He's also been in How I Met Your Mother and Yes Man and like a bunch of other stuff as well. So I knew I recognized him because when I saw him in the movie, I'm like, I've seen this guy somewhere. But yeah, I love how they kind of just all put each other in like, they kind of, you know what I mean? They put each other in each other's films and stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting how like the New Zealand community, like the film community there is like that because I see a lot of the same actors in a lot of Taika and Jermaine's things.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting that way. So, do you have any final thoughts on the film?
Anything
you'd like to add?
I've seen this movie like 5 times and it never gets old. So, I reckon you should definitely check it out. It's so funny.
Although, probably check it out before
you watch
listening
this.
To this podcast. Yeah. It's a bit late to say that now, but like...
Yeah, you should definitely watch it. Oh my god, so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love everything about it, and I love their sense of humor.
Yeah.
Just the way that they write everything and say everything.
Yeah.
It's a very New Zealand sort of thing. Well, I'd say that pretty much wraps it up for this week.
Yep. So.
Next week we're going to be talking about the TV series.
Yeah.
And I actually heard there was going to be, they've confirmed for a season 2. So yes. I better watch season 1 and work out why they like it so much. Is it going to be as good as this film?
Yeah. I guess everyone has their own opinion of it. I think it's fantastic. Me personally, I feel like it's not going to be the same as the movie, obviously, but it's got such a great cast.
Yep.
You'd recognize quite a few people and the actors are fantastic, so.
All right, well, bye from me.
Bye.